Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 5 and verse 9. Luke chapter 5 verse 9. Luke chapter 5 verse 9 reads this way. It says, "For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, Lord, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together in your church, Lord, as your people, knowing that you are in our midst and you have a desire, Lord, to communicate your peace, your joy, and your grace to us, Lord, and into our lives, that we might experience you in a great way, and then, Lord, be the testimony of all the gifts that you've given to us and all of your promises. And so, Lord, we pray that you would guide our hearts and minds, fill us with your Spirit to hear from you and to walk in your ways and to draw nearer to you, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply Astonished. You ever stop to think about that? Astonished. They were astonished. And that word astonished means to be greatly surprised or impressed. And it has the idea of being amazed. Only the Lord can do that for the believer. And this is really, I think, what causes the believer to follow the Lord wholeheartedly when we keep receiving things from the Lord, when he shows us our need of salvation. And then did it not happen instantaneously? We see our sin, we've heard the gospel message, and it was the Lord who's already provided the salvation for us. So the moment the believer understands their need of a Savior, they know where to go. Amen. There's only one place to go. And I think likewise, in all of God's promises and all of God's truths, once we understand what they are, we know where they come from, and they come from the Lord. So just want to take a few moments here. And there are four thoughts, four truths tonight, but they won't be very long this evening, but they deal with God's process in our life, how God works for us. And here's the thing that I think we need to remember. God will not infiltrate our lives. He'll not force himself upon us. We must be willing to call upon the Lord and allow him. We must be yielded. We must present ourselves that the Lord might do the work that he wants to do in our lives. So we don't serve a kind of a God that says, okay, you're mine and I'm going to make you do what I want you to do. That's not the kind of God that we serve. He is a loving, benevolent God, and he is love, is he not? And so love is not something that's forced on anybody. Love is a reciprocal thing. If love is just working one-sided, it doesn't really work at all. I mean, one person could be the giver of love and the other person not the recipient of it. Love is not really experienced that way, is it? Even though the one individual that is wanting to love is on board with it, if the other one is not the recipient of it, not willing to receive it and reciprocate it, then love is not going to really work the way it was intended to. Love is a reciprocal relationship, isn't it? It works back and forth. It's a give and a take going back and forth. And so we want to keep that in our minds. And so here are the four truths very quickly that we'll consider. An inconvenient opportunity. This is how it works, really. You'll see this here in just a moment. An inconvenient opportunity. God works in our lives, and we are the ones that perceive it to be an inconvenient opportunity. And so it's inconvenient. It kind of infiltrates. You don't have to answer this. Sometimes you've got other things going on and it's church time. Amen. And you might be in the middle of something. It becomes an inconvenient opportunity, and yet it is still an opportunity that God will bless. And it may even, believe it or not, can this happen? It goes against our desires at the moment. Oh, this is not the best time for me to meet with the Lord. Also, an inconvenient obligation. I don't know that I'm ready to do this. And so, maybe I'll do it. I guess I should. I have to. And isn't it funny sometimes how we feel that we're doing God a favor when it's really him that is wanting to bless our lives? And then the result is an unexpected one. We get an unexpected result, and then we find the result of God's work. So let's just look back in verse 1, and let's look at this inconvenient opportunity. Verse 1 says this, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships,
So where are the fishermen at? Let's get this all together in our heads. They're washing their nets. They're maybe beside the boat, but the boat is not, it's on land, isn't it? It's not out in the water. And so here's Peter, and he's washing his nets, and he enters into the boat. Maybe for a split second, Peter may have looked at the Lord and said, "What are you doing? What do you want? You know, what's going on here? I'm washing my nets, and you just get into the boat." And then notice this: he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So he was obedient. He was like, this is not the best opportunity. This is not the best time in my life. This is not really, I'm not ready for this at the moment. I'm kind of busy right now. And sometimes the Lord comes to us in an inopportune time or an inconvenient time. And yet the Lord wants to bless us and do great things in our lives. And so he thrusts out a little bit. And he obeys reluctantly, maybe a little bit, maybe inconvenienced at the very least. And then we notice this, what it says here in verse 4. And it says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets," plural, and that's important. I always want to point that out, "for a draught." That's a big haul of fishes. So now we have an inconvenient obligation or something that doesn't make any sense to us, it conflicts with what we know, all right? Did it conflict with what Peter knew? Absolutely, because he'd been fishing all night. And so he says this in verse 5, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing." You know what he's saying? We're not going to catch anything. Peter is trying to reason with the Lord from whose understanding? Not the Lord's, right? From his own understanding, from his own experience. But here's the thing that God wants us to understand. One of the truths in this portion of Scripture is that God can take what we understand and flip it on its head. He can take what we know and still make it work like we don't know. Amen? And so here's the Lord and Peter having this conversation, and I love what he says. Nevertheless, he says, "I'm being compliant with you, Lord. I respect you. I have reverence for you." He's a believer in the Lord, and he says, "I'm going to let down at your word. I'm going to let down the net one." And this is key here, and this is where everything really begins to happen for him. Who is Peter dealing with? He's dealing with the Lord, but he's also dealing with himself. He's dealing with God's direction that is in conflict with his understanding, isn't it? So here is Peter trying to rationalize, and he's yielding. Let's give Peter the credit for this. He is yielding to the Lord, and so he is really in a discovery opportunity here with the Lord. The Lord has entered into his ship, and by the way, every time we open up the Word of God, we are allowing the Lord to enter into our lives. Listen, every time we open up the Word of God, may we have the understanding, Lord, help me not to lean to my understanding as I look to your Word. Help me look to you that you might guide me into your paths, into your ways of righteousness that I won't lean to mine. And so I think Peter is doing that here, but he's not believing the Lord, really. I think maybe Peter was going to say, you know, I don't want to say I told you so. When we come up with empty nets, I don't want to tell you I told you so. So here we think, look at this. Lord, at your word, I'm going to let me do you a favor. Let me let you see for yourself. I know what you're telling me to do. I want to be obedient, but you're going to see it's not going to work out. But I think Peter really doesn't know the Lord like he thinks he knows the Lord. And sometimes maybe we don't really know the Lord like we think we know the Lord. Consider the Lord just for a moment. He is infinite. We are finite, right? Will we ever get to the end of knowing everything that there is to know about the infinite, all-knowing God? Of course not. Even throughout all eternity, you and I will never know everything there is to know about God. God will always know infinitely, because he's infinite, he will always know infinitely more than we will ever know. Isn't that amazing? That's mind-boggling to me. Listen, let me just put the maybe case in point here. God has always existed. What more can I say? Can you explain that to me? Always existed. There is no beginning to God. And what a God. What a God and what a Savior. All right. So as we consider this, look at verse 6, and we find the unexpected result here. Verse 6 says, and when they had this done, when they obeyed the Lord, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. I would dare say that didn't happen all the time. And so the Lord is blessing them, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Both the ships so that they began to sink. What a merciful God. Question, was Peter expecting that? He wasn't expecting that. Do you know, listen, just for a second, do you know that God wants to show us things that we don't know and are not expecting? Isn't that amazing? Even in on this side of eternity, don't sell the Lord short. Yes, I know when we get to heaven. No, God's bigger. God is bigger than our minds and can show us many wonderful things that we don't even know about on this side of eternity, as he's doing right here to Peter. Listen, did Peter, let me just phrase it like this. Did Peter think he knew what he was talking about? He thought he knew what he was talking about fishing all night, and he's based on experience and years of fishing. I mean, listen, you know, to come up to somebody who's got a lot of experience doing the same thing over and over every day, they think they know it. But God can take the ordinary and does take the ordinary and makes it extraordinary, doesn't he? And so just for a little bit more, notice what's going on here. They see this unexpected result. And what is God doing here? He is turning unbelief in God into faith in God. Listen, the Lord is turning unbelief into faith in God, isn't he? And only God can do this. We can't do this for ourselves. God, listen, God is wanting to reveal his grace and power in our lives. He wants to show us. What does that do? That brings us to the place of worship and awe of who our God. God can do that all day long, couldn't he? Listen, God doesn't just want to do that once a day. He wants to do that throughout. He wants that to be the place of where we, listen, abide in him. If we're abiding in him, we're going to see the grace of God all through the day in our lives with his peace, with his joy, with the comfort that he's in control. Even when things don't make sense, we are resting in him. He brings that to pass in the life of the believer. All right, so we see this unexpected result. And again, this is God turning unbelief in God into faith in God. And it's his work. And now we come to the very last thought here, and that is the result of God's work. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, what did he see? Had Peter ever seen fish caught before? Many times, didn't he? Many times. But wait a minute, what did Peter see? Did Peter saw boats filled up with fish? Has Peter ever seen boats filled up with fish before? Yeah, but probably not like this, where they began to sink from one net. From one net, the Lord did something that, listen, whatever Peter saw, I don't know exactly what Peter saw, other than what's been told to me, but what Peter definitely saw was the Lord doing something that he knew only he could do. Is that true? He saw the Lord do something that Peter, the experienced fisherman in his occupation, showed him. The Lord showed Peter what only the Lord could do. For who? For Peter. He did this for Peter. Do you know that the Lord wants to do things like that for you and me? And so notice what he says. So verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, what did he do? He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. The Lord allowed Peter to see himself before a holy and righteous God. That was the work of the Lord. And notice again it says, for he was astonished, he was amazed, he was greatly surprised, he was impressed because of his experience. He knew that this shouldn't have been, but God made it happen. So he falls down, and verse 9 it says, for he was astonished. Notice this, because of Peter's obedience, and maybe a little bit inconvenience, and maybe a little bit reluctant, the other people also that were with him got to see this. For he was astonished, verse 9, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto him, isn't this amazing? Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. End of story. Is that the end of the story? That's where it ends. No. No. What happened? These disciples had a change of heart, didn't they? God did that. They had a change of heart about the Lord and his word and his work in their lives. And then notice this, complete surrender to God's word and authority. So the Lord says, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, so they caught this draught of fishes. They're having this conversation while they're headed to shore. The boats are sinking. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. That's complete surrender. They said, God impressed them in such a way that they were willing to leave it all. Do you know that God can astonish, amaze, impress us in such a way, listen, that he becomes before all things in our lives, that we won't put anything before him? That's the Lord's work. And that's not, listen, do you think they begrudgingly did that? Okay, I guess we need to follow you now, because you, obviously you're God. Is that how they felt about it? Not at all. Not at all. They said, oh, this is the Lord. Who can do this? This is God Almighty. Amen? And so tonight, be reminded of this. God wants to amaze you and me for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for the reminder of your will and your work that you are wanting to do in the life of all of your children, Lord. May you bless and open up our understanding to see the truths you'd have us see, and to, Lord, allow you to do the work you want to do in and through our lives. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.